Amen. Will y'all pray with me? Gracious and merciful God, thank you for the love. The love that your Son showed us on the cross when He died. The love that will forgive us no matter what and will always be there to support us, Lord. Thank you for the youth that have prepared this. Thank you for the youth that has just been a part of this weekend, and thank you for the youth in our church. We have such wonderful youth here, and it's so amazing to see your love shine through them, Lord. So just thank you. Lord, now we ask that you be with our speaker as she comes forward to talk a little bit more and to share a little bit more about worship with our youth and with our church family, Lord. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. So one of the parts of Discovery that I love so much is that our senior high youth prepare and work and lead Discovery for our junior high youth. And one of the parts of that is the senior high youth give talks about God's love, about the life, about celebrating life, about forgiveness. And we've had a lot of really powerful talks so far. And this morning, we have one more that we're going to give. Kari Atwell is going to come and share with us a little bit about worship and what worship means to her and why it's so important when we're wanting to celebrate life. So I'm going to invite Ms. Kari Atwell to come share with us.
Okay, so like Will said, my talk is a worship talk. Writing my talk actually made me start wondering what our society defines worship as. So I looked it up on dictionary.com, and one of the definitions I found was to attend services of divine worship, to attend services. And I thought that was weird, because I know I've been taught that just going to church doesn't get you into heaven. So why would simply being in the same room as a church service count as worship? And I don't think it does. Worship isn't supposed to be mindless or emotionless, and just you're not supposed to just go through the motions. Psalm 34, 8 through 9 says, "Open your mouth and taste, open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to Him. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all His goodness." Worship is meant to be a personal connection with God, in which He can open doors that are completely and totally unimaginable to us. We are supposed to want and need worship. Psalm 34:1 says, "I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with His praise." God wants us to worship Him every chance we get because we're really sharing our faith with everybody else, and it makes Him happy. Worship shouldn't be like a chore. We should need to so badly that we have to come up with new and creative ways to worship. It should be like the last piece of chocolate cake. We all want it, so we all end up sharing it. God wants us to want to worship Him. Worship, in my opinion, is one of the most important and most beautiful ways we connect with God. I didn't really understand what worship was until last summer at Sumatonga. It was one of the last days there, so we were having like a party, and there was tons of music, and everybody was singing at the top of their lungs, and nobody cared what anybody else was doing, or if the person next to them could even sing. And everyone was really, really focused on God, and I could feel His presence in me and in everyone around me. I felt like the whole world was at my feet, and like God was holding my hand, and like nothing could touch me, because in that moment, it couldn't. Think back to a time when you had a beautiful experience like that. Remember how it made you feel? I found out that night that true worship is completely forgetting everything around you and focusing and aiming all of your energy on God. When we lift our hearts up to God, we're really joining in on the worship of the angels in heaven. Revelation 5:11 says, "I looked again. I heard a company of angels around the throne, the animals and the elders. 10,000 times 10,000 their number. Thousands after thousands after thousands in full song." My favorite way to worship is through music. I was really touched by the song in the Lifehouse skit this weekend. one line specifically, because it says, because you're all I want, you're all I need, you're everything, my everything. And God is supposed to be our everything. Well, he should be. And I'll admit that he's not always the center of my life, but we're supposed to work at it. We're supposed to work to have the intimate and personal relationship with God that we all want. And working at it, that's the worship part. Worship isn't a show. It's a spiritual and emotional experience between both you and God. People worship in tons of different ways, like the obvious, like music, singing, playing an instrument, listening, whatever floats your boat, and dancing and art, and then some that you probably don't even think of, like fellowship, because we're designed to need interaction with other Christians. I can't do it by myself. I need you guys. And sharing our faith, and I know it can be weird and hard, but sharing our testimony is, in the long run, expanding God's worship. And praying. Prayer helps us not only to connect with God, but to feel His Holy Spirit inside of us. And I actually found a much better definition for worship online too, and it was to show a great respect and or love for. And I decided that was much better than the first one. Worship is different for everyone because we're all different people. So don't be afraid to express your love for God in a way that you feel closest to Him. Lift up your hands. You don't look stupid. You're really opening your heart. Sing a little louder. Pray a little longer. Tell someone your story and be proud of it. Worship is just one more line we have connecting us to God. It's for yours and God's benefit, so don't hold back.
Worship is a powerful thing, and today I want to talk to you a little bit more about worship and about celebrating, since our theme is celebrate life. I want to open up and read you some scripture from Psalms chapter 146. I'm reading from the Message. Hallelujah! O my soul, praise God. All my life long, I'll praise God, singing songs to my God as long as I live. Don't put your life in the hands of experts who know nothing of life, of salvation life. Mere humans do not have what it takes. When they die, their projects die with them. Instead, get help from the God of Jacob. Put your hope in God and know real blessing. God made the sky and the soil, sea and all the fish in it. He always does what He says. He defends the wronged. He feeds the hungry. God frees prisoners. He gives sight to the blind. He lifts up the fallen. God loves good people, protects strangers, takes the side of orphans and widows, but makes short work of the wicked. God is in charge. Always. Zion's God is God for good. Hallelujah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Father God, we've seen your love this weekend. We've seen your love this morning through worship, through talks, through skits. Lord, now just speak through me so that we may feel your love and grow a little bit closer to you this morning as well, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. When I volunteered to stand up here and give the sermon, the mini sermon, in place of Brother Michael or Sister Kim, I really didn't have any idea of what I wanted to talk about. This Lent, we're looking about finding the quiet center in our lives. We're talking about different ways to do that. So I was like, maybe something like that. But it's also Discovery Weekend. And the theme for Discovery is celebrate life. So maybe something like that. And then the Sunday kept drawing closer and closer, and I couldn't decide. And the discovery meetings got longer and longer, and the pressure of all the work got higher and higher, and I started to stress out. I remembered something. God calls us to celebrate life. God calls us to celebrate life, just like the discovery theme. But it's also a spiritual practice. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about the spiritual practice of celebrating, because it's something we all need to do. Now, I graduated from the University of Alabama with a degree in computer engineering. I have a very logical brain. So when I decided I wanted to talk about celebrating, the first thing that I think I thought of three questions that I wanted to answer. When, why, and how? I'm very logical. That's the first. When, why, and how? Why do we celebrate? When do we celebrate? Why do we celebrate? And how do we celebrate? So that's what I want to look at today. And I want to start with when. I think it was last Monday, I was watching a television episode on Monday night of the television show House. I don't know how many of you watched that, but I was watching that. And there was a quote from that television show. The main character had just jumped into a pool full of all these teenagers and college students that were partying because apparently they had just won a game. And the lead character goes, "When your team wins, what do you do?" And all the college students go, "Party!" The lead character goes, "When your team loses, what do you do?" And all the college students goes, "Party harder!" I really think that God kind of wants us to look at life that way. When life's going great, when life is good, celebrate. When life gets you down, when you're struggling, when you're having difficult times, celebrate harder. The scripture that I read says, always praise. All my life long, I'll praise God as long as I live. When do we celebrate? Always. The good, the bad, the difficult, the happy. Always celebrate. Start today. If you're not used to celebrating, start today. Now, my next question was, why do we celebrate? And this one was a little bit harder. I've been going to Ecuador in South America for 8 years. One of my first years there, I met a wonderful woman. Her name was Cecilia. Those that went with us last year, y'all didn't get to meet Cecilia. You got to meet Nani, which is Cecilia's daughter. Cecilia, at the time, was in charge of 26 daycares full of children ranging from 3 months to 15 years of age. How she got this position was all the 26 daycares got together and they said, "We need somebody to lead us. You're good. You can do it." She didn't get paid to do it. She didn't get a nice house, a new car, a great big office with a scenic view of the mountains. She just got the responsibility of helping to look over 26 daycares and over 500 kids. When I met her, she didn't have nice clothes. She had old paint-stained clothes that she used to play with the kids. Her family did not own a car. They had to ride the bus everywhere they needed to go. They had a two-bedroom house, but they were at least lucky with their bedroom house. They were within 50 yards of where they could go get water, walk and go pick up their own water. They did not have running water in their house. But when I first met her, she had a smile on her face. When she worked with the kids, and those of you that have had kids or have worked with young children before and they're crazy, when they got mad, when they cried, when they joyed, she had a smile on her face always. I worked with her closely for 5 days, and I don't think I ever saw her without a smile. And at the end of the week, me as an inquisitive 14-year-old boy had to go up to her and say, "Cecilia, why are you always smiling? It's almost creepy because you're always smiling. Why are you always smiling? And she looked at me and she said, because I have God in my heart. And because with God in my heart, I will always love and I will always smile. He has done so much for me. He has given me this life. He has given me this opportunity to work with kids. I will always smile. And that touched me. That Cecilia is one of my close friends. She is very dear to my heart. I kind of blame her for one of the reasons that I'm up here today. Because when she said, I'm going to pray for you to be a preacher, I laughed at her. And now I'm up here talking to all of y'all and working with your youth. But she is a very special person to me. And still to this day, every time I see her, she's got a big smile on her face. So I think the better question is, instead of why do we celebrate, why not celebrate? Why are we not celebrating? We have a God that loves us, that's all powerful, that's merciful. We have a Savior that died for us in a horrific way and then rose again that we could be forgiven. We have their Spirit that lives with us, that is there to guide us and to counsel us and to help us along the way. Why not? Why do we not celebrate when we have all this magnificent, amazing stuff that God has given us? Why not? So, we want to celebrate always. Start today. Start now. Get God in your heart. We want to celebrate because we have such an amazing God. I don't have the words to stand up here and describe to you how amazing our God really is. But how do you celebrate? I want to talk a little bit about the Ecuador. You'll hear me talk a lot about Ecuador. I love my Ecuador trips. When we go down to Ecuador, we carry teams of we had six from this church last year, and we'll meet up with we have six this year, and we'll meet up with teams, and we'll have about 40 people down there. There are two kinds of people that work down in Ecuador. There's the first type that their entire goal is to stick to the task and to accomplish the task, whatever it takes. Whether it takes working late, you sit there, you ignore everything else, and you get your task done. I'm not one of those people. Then you have your second kind of people. They go down there. They will enjoy themselves. They'll fellowship with their co-workers. They will talk with the kids. They'll play with the kids. They'll mingle with the staff and the children. And the work is secondary. Building the relationships and loving others is first. So who's celebrating? I personally think that in this life and when we celebrate, it's not where we're going, but how we get there. It's not where we're going, not where we're going to end up. If we love God, we're all going to end up in heaven. We're all going to pass away and we're all going to end up in heaven. But how we get there, what do we do with this time? And we need to celebrate. And how we celebrate is first we keep God in our hearts always. Through thick and thin, through bad and good. Keep Him in your hearts and your life will change. Keep Him foremost in your thoughts and you'll end up doing things differently in your everyday life. When you're at work or at school, keep Him in your thoughts. You're an ambassador of God. People see you and see God. This is a way to celebrate God. Let His light shine through you to the others that you mingle with, that you're at school with, that you work with. When you're at home, let God's love shine through your family. Celebrate His love. Get your family together. Pray together. Have a prayer before meals. That is a great time to celebrate and thank God before meals. And a lot of us overlook it. When you're alone, pray. Thank God. One of the coolest things we've done here at Discovery this weekend was last night we had a praise and worship service. I encourage you, if you haven't already, take the time and walk up and look at some of the things that our youth have wrote on our poster over here about love and about what it means to be forgiven and how much they love and thank God. And at the end of that service, amongst the between the clouds and the storms and the rains and the puddles, we went outside and we held hands and we thanked God. To me, celebrating is thanking God. Thanking Him for what we're doing and letting His light shine through you always. To me, that's what it means to celebrate. And I know I'm not the best at it. Like I said earlier, coming up into this weekend, I was probably running around crazy, doing T-minus 3 days, 6 hours, and 18 minutes till the kids show up. But you could probably ask Kim and some of the ones that have seen me this year. When I started writing this and realized about celebration and putting God shine through, this has probably been my best discovery because I've been calmer, I've been more relaxed, I've had more things fixed in my mind just because I'm trying to keep that mentality, trying to keep that spiritual practice of celebrating God in everything I do, worship, writing, work, driving, everything I do, celebrating life. So, today I hope when you go forth from here, you will start celebrating in everything you do. That you will remember that we have a God that has given us so, so much. He's given us so much love and He is always there for us. And that if we just keep His love foremost in our thoughts and our hearts and we let it shine through us and we thank Him for what He's given us, we can celebrate life too. And I don't know, I'd much rather walk around with a smile and a frown on any day of the week. Celebrate life. God's love is amazing. Let's celebrate it. Let us pray. Almighty Father, thank You. We thank You. We praise Your name, for You have given us so much. You have forgiven us. You have shown us love. You are with us to guide us through the thick and the thin. Lord, let us celebrate You. Let us celebrate Your love. Let us celebrate what You've given us in every aspect of our lives. Let us start today. Let us go out from here and celebrate. Let us go out from here and let others who see us say, they're on fire for God. I can see God working in them. Let us celebrate You. Let us thank You for what You've given us. Lord, You are truly awesome. Thank You. Let us worship You. Let us praise You. Let us lift up our voices and our cheers and our claps to You in thanks.
Amen.